Hello, and welcome back to Scream Addicts. My name's Jason Jenkins. Call me Jenk. Sitting with me here today are...
Seth. I don't know if we're starting on this side or not.
I choose not to be identified.
It's probably pretty fair.
That's David.
And I'm a Mac. Even better the second
that
time.
That joke works twice.
Yeah, we tried recording a couple of minutes ago, and we got about 5 minutes in. Well, we got about 10 minutes in, realizing that we stopped recording for whatever reason.
Nice
so this is episode 2.0. Let's see how it goes this time. Now, if you've been listening here recently, you know that for the past few weeks, well, gosh, it's been about a month now, we have shown up every Thursday night to the mailroom screening room to basically watch
one
a movie
might call
and podcast
a screaming
about
room.
A screen. Another one. To watch a horror movie and podcast about it right
Fuck
after.
Me, I guess.
You shut your mouth over there.
Is this happening? Is this what we're doing? Sorry, Jinx. As you were saying,
it's all right. So,
we do stuff in the screening room.
It started out with Dave's choice
with a hard in.
Oh, with Angst, and then we went to Brian's, which was Detention. Last week, after that, it was my choice with Their Samurai. And then last week, we skipped Seth, to celebrate Friday the 13th by doing a retrospective talk on the entire franchise. And now, this week, it was Seth's choice, and Seth chose...
Oh, boy. Jeepers Creepers. Uno, un, dos.
Yep, we're doing the Jeepers Creepers franchise, folks. So if you want to go ahead and just
franchise.
Tune out right now.
There's more than one, Brian. It's a franchise.
Two
we right. understand that emotions can run high with this franchise, so we'll understand if you want to go ahead and
we're still going to call it a franchise.
Little hot under the collar, you would say.
Hey, there are two movies, and we're expecting a third. I'm calling it a franchise.
I think that's called a trilogy. Mm. Right?
I don't want to talk franchise. To you anymore.
Like Rocky.
Oh, God.
We're not at Fast 7 yet.
Now, here's the thing.
Would you call Predator a franchise?
Yeah, there's multiples of those.
There are three.
And the remake?
You got to count AVP, too.
God damn it. Do
I? I think you do.
Mm-hmm. All right, as you were.
Right.
The Jeepers Creepers movies.
All right, so we're talking Jeepers Creepers and Jeepers Creepers 2.
Walmart.
It is worth noting that Seth chose to bring in Jeepers Creepers 2, so we all watched Jeepers Creepers going into this beforehand. So, but nevertheless, we're going to talk both movies because why just talk about the second one?
The duology.
And we skip Seth, so he gets two movies.
Yeah, yeah. So that makes sense. Yeah. It's fair. It's fun. So, so that's what we watched. And Seth decided to enlighten us a little bit on what his own view about those movies are. Last week, post-podcast.
The way you said that is setting me up for something very terrible.
No, it's
the
not.
Tone
it's
of
not,
voice.
It's not. But I will say that it made watching the movie again a little more uncomfortable this time around.
It's supposed to be, I think.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it is now.
What, did you miss it the first time?
Well, it was like 13 years ago. It was definitely there.
I was a victim then.
It was there, but I was not. Either victim or victimized. Fuck you. Anyway, so onto the Jeepers Creepers movies.
This is
a train wreck.
This is the
already. I knew it was going to happen. I just didn't know it was going to be this soon. 3 minutes, 17 seconds
sad,
in.
It's sad because the first take was pretty solid.
It's like a bus wreck. Let's
now,
go.
Here's the thing. If you are a listener of a horror podcast called Scream Addicts, there is a pretty good chance that you are familiar with the Jeepers Creepers franchise. So we're not going to rehash exactly what the plots are. But nevertheless, let's go ahead and jump right in and chat about the first movie and what we think about it. Let's go ahead and start out. Thumbs up, thumbs down. What do you guys think about the first film?
I give it two very awesome thumbs up. One for each film, in fact.
David, how about you?
Oh, boy. I fell asleep during it.
What?
Yeah.
How do you... Okay, I understand not liking it, but falling asleep?
Yeah,
were you tired before you press play?
It's a very slow movie. It's a very slow movie.
It is really a slow movie.
They're both actually really slow.
What?
Yeah.
They're 90 minutes. The second movie was...
Oh, they move at a snail's pace.
Yeah, if I didn't have Seth talking it up, I would have been asleep in this one.
I mean, okay.
The three guys who gave a thumbs up to Angst, find the Jeepers Creepers movies...
I can like slow movies. Schindler's List is slow as shit, but it's a pretty okay movie.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Did you watch Das Boot?
That is probably
slow. A pretty good movie.
We got a Schindler's List reference in on Scream.
Not every movie can move as fast as Ghost Dad.
That's right.
We're not fucking watching Ghost Dad.
Or Too Fast, Too Furious.
Putting my foot down.
It's right there in the title.
All right, Brian, how about you?
I like these movies, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
I do too. I've enjoyed the movie since they hit theaters. I previewed them both back in the day when they came out.
So
I dug them. But Seth, why don't you go ahead and jump in and tell us why you chose these movies and what they mean to you? What your approach as a viewer
Yes, Seth, why don't you?
No. When I say what they mean to you, I mean you have... a point of view on these movies that I want to hear.
I chose them because, well, one, I felt kind of bad that you got kind of duped into Detention a little bit. Because it's not a horror film. So I wanted to pick a film that is kind of like a very formulaic horror film. And these are both monster films. And
sure.
We hadn't done a monster film yet. So I thought, well, maybe the werewolf thing in December. Anyway, whatever. But this is straight up like, this is a monster attacking people.
Can I say one thing, though, if I can jump in for a
Go
second?
Go ahead.
Like, you call it... Would you consider the first one a formulaic movie? Because to me, like, yeah, it is ultimately a creature feature, but it doesn't necessarily sure. start that way. One of the things that I like about the first movie is that, you know, in the first third, it's... A little bit of a road movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Duel, and then the monster keeps changing. The monster in the first third is
okay,
a truck,
so,
and then
so yes, and the first act of Jeepers Creepers 1 is not a monster film. It is a chase slasher whatever film.
It's Joyride.
It's the prologue.
But that act one is still a formulaic plot for that kind of genre.
Sure,
but I'm not saying formulaic isn't bad. I don't think formulaic films are always bad. They can be. I don't think this one is though.
Well, it does. It feels like three different movies smashed together, which is I think in a way it's kind of cool. Where you know you can't just call it a slasher film, or you can't just call it a creature feature. It's not
a battle axe,
a road movie. But it is neat that we it is three films, types of films,
and,
Frankenstein
you know,
together.
And maybe that's why I'm okay with like the battle axe and like the throwing stars, because there's a whole lot of camp in these films. But it's not treated as camp because, like...
No, it's dead serious.
Right, but it's absolutely camp.
Sure.
I mean, there's a dude with a ponytail, and he cuts off the dude's head. He makes out with the dude's head, closes and then he throws in the dude's head into the van, closes the door, it's all black, opens it up again to put his hat on. That's funny. That's meant to be funny, I think.
Maybe a little creepy, too.
Yeah. I don't know if it's creepy.
Should we set up synopsis for these movies first?
Well, I was thinking about that, and you know, for movies that are probably a little—it's
about a winged pedophilic monster.
There we go.
No, I don't think the monster
that's
is
just like Schindler's List.
That's what it's about.
Within the world of those movies, we can't necessarily say that the creeper is a pedophile.
The creeper preys and eats on young boys.
Mm-hmm.
Very true. The one woman that he kills in the first film, he stabs her with the axe and throws her away. Does not feed on her.
And
at the
end of that movie, the girl is saying, I have everything you want. And
I'm better, I'm stronger than him. And he says no, because he wants to feed on the young boy.
Okay, maybe we should jump into a synopsis on the off chance that somebody listening doesn't have any, has no idea what these movies are.
He also leaves
about.
the black psychic lady alone.
Is it in the first movie, it's Trish and Derry. They're a brother-sister team driving back from...
Derry, isn't that the weirdest name?
Well, Derry.
The whole franchise is weird.
He couldn't use Barry.
Okay, so we have Trish and Derry. We have this...
Minxie.
We have this brother-sister team who are traveling down, what is it, from college back home in Florida, and they basically run afoul of a son of a bitch in a trucker who tries to run them off the road, and over the course of the movie, it escalates to the point when they realize that they're being stalked by a slasher character. That sniffs underwear in a trench coat and a hat carrying a battle axe, and then the
ponytail.
Third act reveal is that he's not simply a slasher character, but he is in fact some sort of weird creature.
Winged.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's not explained at all.
That's
what
right.
he is. He has this weird kind of like spider face wing things. He has wings on his back. He has this three chambered nose that he smells fear and knows what he likes to eat. But I don't know entirely where I was going with that. I had something to say earlier. Now it's pretty much gone. Sorry, as you were.
No, fine. But yeah, ultimately, by the end of the first film, we find out that the creature, what is the mythology here? For 23 days, every 23 years, he basically hunts and eats people whose, body parts can basically...
Well, that's the thing. It's not wholly explained.
Because
we're left to assume that he's eating them, that if his eyes are going bad, like in the first one, he kills Derry and takes out Derry's eyes at the end of it. He eats the prison dude's arm. It's the AC. He eats the prison dude's arm because his arm is gone. In the second one, he takes the dude's head. But
he still does eat. It does
say
that the...
Yeah, he does actually eat the parts. But, and David brought up in Jeepers Creepers too, that if his bat wing is gone, how does he get that? Does he eat a butterfly or a bat? So I think there's part of it that he uses it to rebuild himself. And I think that's the basis of it, which is how he's able to stay alive. I do like in the first one, it's kind of impossible to watch the first one now without knowing what it is, But when I saw it, when I was 12 when it came out, and all of the trailers that I saw, it never showed that he was actually something beyond a dude.
Oh, yeah.
And
so, that was a complete surprise.
Right. So, and when you're watching, you're like, well, what the fuck's going on? And then, like, they go down into the pipe because Darius, we got to see what he was dumping down the pipe, and they see the ceiling lined with preserved bodies. And there's actually, it's like an old high school prom myth of, like, of the guy and girl, and they were down the road, and they died on that same highway. Then Derry finds their bodies, so the whole myth was true. And on the table, there's this, like, carving of this demon thing. Oh, my God, the dude is, like, in a cult. Then you find out, no, he's making a self-portrait of himself by the end of it, is what you realize, which is kind of cool. So the surprise was cool seeing it first. That surprise has no luster if you know the score, I think.
Oh, sure.
I'm not sure it would have surprise now with the way movies are made now. I don't know if someone...
Well, even with the upcoming, like, Scream Factory releases right there on the cover, if somebody picks that up for the first time, they're going to see a creature with an axe on the cover.
So, I mean, that's kind of lost, but I don't know if that's the point. It's kind of a cool gimmick for first watch, but it doesn't really have any staying power. It also doesn't matter, because that's not what the film's about.
Right. But it is neat, though, that, like, yeah, I mean, it starts out, it's three-tiered. It's like the monster's the truck, essentially. And then the monster's a slasher, and then the monster is actually a monster. But not only that, it seems to cover, like, decades in horror in a way. You know, like, the first third of it is kind of, like, very gritty and spare in a way. And with the truck chasing after them, it recalls Duel. So would that be the 70s? And
then,
you know, we have a guy in a trench coat with a battle axe. Is that meant to be, like, an 80s slasher or whatever? You know,
by the end of the 21st century, bringing back the universe of monster films.
Yeah, well, even in the 90s, like, you know, you have a creature feature with some regrettable CG.
Jurassic Park?
Yeah, well, Jurassic Park was great, but they had the budget to be great.
Is that what you're talking about?
Not so much. But by the end of it, ultimately, we find out that, you know, the creeper sniffs out his prey. And
he does.
He will ignore anyone else unless they get in his way. But ultimately, this brother-sister team.
Or he needs them at that time.
Or he needs them. And so this brother-sister team is ultimately split up when he takes Derry at the very end of it. And we find out the horrible meaning of that title, which is...
The song?
Well, the song, but also I think it's meant to be a gag that he takes Derry's eyes.
Yeah, where'd you get those peepers?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean... And, like,
Dave, is that the part you fell asleep
on? It all comes together now.
Well, and that film, it's like, well, how is that his song? Did he discover it in
the
20s?
Didn't understand the song.
But that's... I don't know how he discovered the song. I don't think it matters. The reason the song's important in the film is because it happens to be playing on the radio... whenever Derry and Trish are driving with the cops, because the psychic lady calls him and says, if you hear that song, run, because she's already seen...
Well, it's also playing during the final scene when he's killed.
Because and she says, whenever she calls, she's like, you know, I heard that song playing in a room and you were screaming. So she's already seen the end because she's psychic. Because why not?
Look at that. Both movies use psychics.
Like Final Destination series.
Yeah, they do, man.
They just help you
Pre-cons.
Understand the narrative.
It's like Minority Report.
Here it is.
I hope they explain that in the third film, and that's something that pisses me off about the Final Destination series, too, is that it is such a big deal with both franchises that you have a psychic of some sort with some sort of connection.
You can't just accept that?
No.
You can accept everything else in those movies.
Okay, but that's the thing. And, you know, when it comes to movies like that or whatever, you can have that one buy-in. Where you have one fantastical element. But if you have two and one of them goes entirely unexplained, it's a little...
You get six or seven Final Destinations. But I mean, something like that is like asking why, I don't know, why...
But I mean, within the world of the movie, there has to be an explanation for that, right?
No.
There isn't
Does
in
there?
Jeepers Creepers.
No, I'm saying there should be, and there could be still. I don't think there needs to be. I mean, because, I mean, we're living in a world in that film where there is a winged monster... So, of course, psychics are going to be okay if that fucking thing exists for hundreds of years.
But, my God, the coincidence of having a psychic explain everything to us in one movie and then having a completely different psychic explain everything in the second film,
too. Yeah, but I don't know if... I don't know. I think...
That's just kind of poor writing.
I think you're hindering it. I think, well...
I'm sorry, I like the movies. That's bad writing.
Well, what I would say is that Victor... Well, what I think Victor Salva would say is that he has a plan to explain all that in the third film. But just looking at the two films that we have, I don't think that matters. I don't personally care that there's a psychic in both films. Because they're not about the plot or about the psychic girl. It's not
okay,
it's
I guess
not
I guess it wouldn't annoy me so much if it were only the first movie. But then two movies in a row with two different psychics. I'm like, okay, there's got to be something to this. And if there isn't... Well, by the end of the franchise, I'll roll my
eyes. That's right, the franchise.
Franchise. franchise. Brian, you have checked out completely.
No, I'm here.
He just hates that we're calling it a franchise.
Fair enough.
Don't call it a comeback.
I think the second psychic is probably there to explain to those people who hadn't seen
that's
Jeepers
exactly
Creepers.
What it is. That's exactly right. What it is. That's exactly
why
what it is.
The monster.
Oh yeah.
Does
well. Oh, though, totally.
But
totally
they
is.
Cover that base so many times. It opens with that, you know,
every,
the text on screen saying
every 23 years,
every 23 years,
23 years, yeah. it gets to feed. Yeah.
And then she basically has to see a vision with the Matt guy in it again.
Well, and I don't know how much of that. I don't know how the films are made. I don't look up all this like back Matt matter for these films because it leads to a lot of really terrible internet holes, at least for these films. But so I don't know if Victor Salva originally wrote her to have that dream or if the studio thought, look, dude, nobody saw your first film. It made a little bit of money, but nobody saw it. Can you make it? Can you recap that for us? I guess. With a psychic? Yeah, sure, with a psychic.
Yeah, his solution is like, psychic.
I'll just do it with a psychic. They won't go for that, and they loved it. And now here we are. Hollywood likes weird things.
Sure.
I mean, he's still directing movies.
I will say, you know, Jeepers Creepers is, you know, we'll get into all the other stuff later. But just as a movie, I think, as a thriller, I think it is very well made. I think Salva is a good director.
I was surprised by the amount of physical effects. Not that they're all good, but they use so many of those effects for a movie that came out in 2001 and then 2003. Because sure. That was the height of everyone doing
some
really
CG, but a lot of practical stuff.
Yeah, which is surprising for the time that it was out. But I think it's because he wanted to make an old school monster film. So yeah. He wanted it to look real.
And both, I mean, for the most part, are like really good-looking movies.
Yeah, they're not bad.
I dig the scores. I dig the character. I think the Creeper is a great villain. He's
I
very
love
iconic
design.
In a way.
I like the design.
There was even, you said there was a figure, right? An action figure?
They did
I had forgotten this.
I believe Sideshow did a 12-inch doll of him, and Tom McFarlane put him in his movie Maniacs line.
No, he didn't.
Him with his coat, his hat, and like a little fence.
Neat.
And his battle axe.
That is kind of cool. All right, so that came out in 2001 and was actually kind of a hit. I think it came out in September, and it broke some records for, like, Labor Day weekend. I remember working at the theater when it came out, and it did a good deal of business.
It was,
so, of course,
it was Justin Long's kind of like first big film, right?
Oh, totally. Well, I think
he
had already done
things,
Galaxy Quest right before that.
But
I think Jeepers Creepers was the one where he proved himself kind of as a lead.
Then he did Accepted.
5 years later.
It's a good movie.
It is.
I don't want to hear about it.
No, I like Accepted.
It's a college movie.
But, you know, weirdly enough, like that launched his
very
career.
Accepted? I don't know.
But, you know, Gina Phillips, who is also his co-lead in Jeepers Creepers,
what
was great in that.
What has she done?
I don't know.
Because she was awesome.
She's apparently going to be back in the third
Jeepers
one.
Jeepers Creepers 3.
Cathedral.
That's what she's done.
Yeah.
They've been working on the film so long that I remember being in middle school, high school, on, like, movie rumor pages and seeing, like, Jeepers Creepers 3, Cathedral, coming out next year, and then the next year, be like, all right, the next year.
Yeah, no.
And then I eventually was like, fuck it, it's never getting made. And then I read yesterday, I was like, oh, it's shooting now.
Never say never. We got Mad Max Fury Road after 12 years, so.
12 years.
Did you just, Mad Max Fury Road?
No.
Oh.
Yes, maybe. Did I? I didn't mean to.
Okay.
Tom Hardy's gorgeous.
Is he?
Tom Hardy is gorgeous.
Or isn't he?
No. We'll talk about this later. Tom Hardy is gorgeous, as long as he doesn't talk.
So Jeepers Creepers was super successful, and as a result, 2 years later, we got Jeepers Creepers 2,
which
was also a success.
Soon after Freddy vs. Jason had opened.
Yep, in 2003.
I know this because,
that's a good memory.
I know this because Jinx's boss kicked me out of the theater for trying to see both of them.
Well, that's what you get for trying to see
again. Because I was 14.
Like I
used
to when
fine.
I was a kid.
My cousin said he was my dad. It all worked out the next day.
That's all you got to know. You just got to have somebody old enough to believably
you know
be your parent.
You know what the best part of it is?
Say straight away. Now, you don't have to, don't be like, oh, I'm an adult. You can't pull that shit. And you can't say, oh, I'm their guardian.
No.
Unless you're a legal guardian, that shit doesn't work either. You have to say right at the very beginning, I'm their parent. Then you're good because we can't question you for
the rest. You know what the best part was?
I say we. I don't work in
the theater
anymore.
We told the exact same guy who kicked us out that he was my dad the next day. Couldn't do shit.
Dude, you're all faceless. Like
I know, it's awesome. I love it.
So many people roll through there. We can't. I keep saying roll we. Through. I don't work in a movie theater anymore, thank goodness.
Well,
but,
kind of. You're doing work now. We have, and we do have our own screaming room.
There's that. Scream. You're going to stick with that screaming room.
I'm making a shirt.
I
David do. Enjoys it. Why can't you?
Yeah. Why do you keep calling him David?
He likes criterion.
Because I couldn't get Raul.
It was already taken.
It was already taken.
I can't argue with that.
Are you
anyway.
Irish or Scottish now?
So we get Jeepers taken? Creepers 2. And guys, plot-wise, you know, if we consider the first movie somewhat relatively small and contained or whatever, then Jeepers Creepers 2 is kind of like the Aliens to the first film's Alien. It's a little bigger in scope.
Except as opposed
even
to
though
adding,
it is kind of contained mostly contained. For the second act of the film.
Like, it's not bigger. There's way less locations in this movie.
It's like Aliens in that instead of adding more
monster, we've seen the same movie.
They added more shirtless boys.
Not a one of them named Vasquez. So.
Which made it seem like Ibiza.
What? Perfect.
Seemed to fit.
Yeah. So plot-wise, what can we say about this? It opens with a kid getting murdered in a field by the creeper, and we find out this is day 22.
Away.
Oh, he was steadily murdered.
He wasn't murdered in the field.
He was eventually murdered.
He was screaming.
Why are you splitting hairs over this?
I didn't see him.
I'm just trying to get through the synopsis because Brian wanted me to.
What?
He was bloody. He was bloody in the dream.
Post-puncher.
Okay, so day 22, he kills a kid, and he makes the mistake of not only killing a kid, but killing a kid who winds up being Ray Wise's son. So on day 23,
that's a mistake.
Absolutely. So you don't kill Leland Palmer's kids
who?
Unless you're Leland Palmer. Twin Peaks reference? Nothing? No? Nothing? Dave's nodding.
We got it.
Okay, thank you.
Let's move it along.
You know what? Fuck all three of you. Somebody else synopsize this movie. I'm sick of doing synopses.
No, go ahead.
Synopses.
Please.
No,
please,
no.
Please, after you.
I'm not doing it.
Jinx, you're the leader of the podcast. This is your job.
Not doing it.
If you don't do it, no one will do it.
I can't hack the constant interruption. Somebody synopsize this bitch.
I don't remember.
I have remained silent for most of this podcast.
For our listeners, we are in fact falling apart.
Yeah, I'm actually going to claim denial.
You can't do that.
Yeah, I will.
All right, let me try this one more damn time. So the very next day, which is day 23 of the monster's feeding frenzy, we follow a group of kids coming back from a big championship football
basketball game.
It's a basketball?
It's a football. Basketball game. Gosh. Always Jennifer basketball.
All Please. Sports are the same.
Always Jennifer sports ball.
So
you
anyway,
don't bring three cheerleaders to football.
They break down on the road, and it turns out it's not a breakdown, but they have actually been sabotaged by
the creeper.
They ran
over a ninja star with a tooth in it.
No, it was thrown into the fire. So anyway, they break down, and then the creeper starts to pick them off one by one. All the while, Ray Wise's Ahab character takes his post-puncher from his farm and proceeds to hunt the creeper down. Eventually, both stories dovetail, and then
it's not subtle.
And then stuff gets set up for the third movie. So, guys, what did you think about Jeepers Creepers 2 compared to the first movie? Do you think it's a better film? Maybe not so much. Equally as good?
I like the first one more. The second one I think is more fun to talk about.
Yeah.
But you kind of have to talk about both of them to talk about, really, I think, what I think is going on in them. But I prefer the first one because it is, I mean, it's like you said, I prefer Alien to Aliens.
Really?
I prefer less.
Okay.
Alien is a much better film. Much better film.
You know, I heard somebody say this on a podcast once, and I agree with it entirely. When it comes to Alien and Aliens, my favorite one is the one I'm watching at that moment.
I can't agree with that.
No, Alien.
Yeah.
Better
Alien.
Film.
Alien. No,
definitely.
No, nothing? Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's awesome.
I can't be with you this week on that one.
No, here's the thing. I can't say that about Jeepers Creepers 2, though, because I think I kind of prefer the first one to
as
the second.
As a kid, I remember liking Aliens more though. For what it's worth, I guess.
It's prettier.
There was a toy line.
There's a lot of explosions.
There were. You ever guns with harnesses?
I'm a child who likes explosions and things to look pretty.
Who doesn't?
No, I love both movies. But, I think the second one is a far better directed movie. And talk about slow-paced. Ridley Scott, I adore Ridley Scott, but Alien is a very slow movie to the point of being dull at times.
Which is funny, because it's an action movie. David, which one did you like more?
Which one?
Jeepers Creepers 1 or 2?
I think I like 2 better.
Because you didn't fall asleep?
Yeah, because I didn't fall asleep. I was awake.
But I think
think there's more going on in 2.
There's a lot more.
I think the message is a little more hidden in 1.
I think what happened is that Salva, he's making this film about a naked beast that preys on young boys called the Creeper. And he was like, maybe I should tone it down for this first one because I got more to say. And then I was like, I made some money. I'll make a second one. He said, you know what? I'm going to say whatever I want.
Yeah,
do whatever I want.
I think he got a little more wild.
Yeah, I think he did.
And that's why the third one hasn't been made yet.
God knows. I'm afraid to know what that one's going to be.
Yeah.
I told David, I think it's going to be a porn.
Oh, God.
I mean, he keeps edging closer and closer to that. And that's not okay.
It's not.
Brian, how about you? 1 or 2?
Not in this country.
I prefer the first film. I mean, it has Justin Long in it.
that's
all I need.
That's
all I need.
Brian's an actor's friend.
Yeah.
He's an actor's friend.
Yeah.
So are you saying you're a fan of Drag Me to Hell?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Good.
God damn that movie.
Love that film. I get so few people who...
I feel like in this podcast we keep talking about other films to hide the fact that we don't have to talk about
this
film.
Oh, we're barreling right toward it.
All right, we're diving in right now.
As a trigger warning, we will be talking about pedophilia.
Okay,
I hear you have to give those. So there it is.
Okay, so...
You can't not talk about what I think Victor Salva is doing in these films.
This is a conversation I wanted to have on this podcast for a while.
Oh my gosh, don't say that.
No, no, no. Even back during the original days, the conversation would have been drastically different way back during the first iteration of this podcast. But no.
Maybe.
It would have.
I like the part with the monster.
Wow. Can't argue any part of that. But anyway, you know, it is funny when it comes to Jeepers Creepers because every time one of these films, anytime it comes up in the news or anytime Victor Salva makes a new movie, you know, people come out in force on social media and they start railing against it because of what his crimes were. And I can't argue against that. Well, I can here in a bit. But first, I understand why emotions run so high when those moves are mentioned. But what I don't understand... Well, let's go ahead and talk about that first. What exactly happened with Victor Salva?
Victor Salva, while making a film called Clown House in 88, starring Sam Rockwell...
of Charlie's Angels fame. Wait a second. I want to do this on air. I was wrong last week when it came to Sam Rockwell being in Charlie's Angels. I bet both Brian and Seth a buck, and now I brought the dollar. There you go, guys.
Oh, boy, a dollar.
Yeah. Do you hear that?
I didn't get
my
dollar.
I'm going to Pops.
You made a bet with Dave earlier.
Oh, shit, I did make a bet with Dave. What was the bet with? Oh, it was over
the movies.
Okay. Can you break a five?
Good thing you didn't bet on the crew.
Just forget it.
Okay, next week, Dave.
Just forget it.
Next week, Dave.
I don't really need this. I'm actually
okay.
No,
I want to leave this podcast clean.
It's too late for that.
Good luck.
So he makes Clown House in 88, which is actually it's not a bad film.
I've never seen it.
It actually is not a bad film. I actually enjoy the film. It's scary-ish at parts. I don't know. It's kind of like a garden variety 80s horror film, but it's actually not bad. The problem
it's about
with,
clowns, right?
Yeah, it's about three, I believe.
Clown. It's called Clown House.
It's about three escaped mental patients that wear clown outfits and attack the boy and his brother at home while their parents are gone.
Okay.
There are a lot of... And when you're watching it, it feels kind of off. I didn't know about his whole history when I watched it, but it felt like, well, maybe they're showing a bit too much of the underage boy. So it came out that
at which point the director thought it was not...
No, because it came out. It came out. What happened is that he actually had molested the boy behind the scenes
and videotaped it. Right?
Yes. Not only that, when the charges were
brought up, he is a heck of a director.
When his charges were brought up, they raided his house and found a collection of tapes for many different things. Long story short, he gets found guilty. I believe he pled guilty, which is why he got it knocked down to 3 years, because he didn't videotape everything, so they couldn't prove everything. So he was, I believe, I might be getting these facts wrong. Any Victor Salva fans, please, please correct me on my wrongdoings. But it was pled out to 3 years. He served 15 months.
He served 15 months instead.
Justice. Then he does powder.
Well, I think 15 months in prison rape years equals out to three.
Well, and that's the thing. From what we know about the prison community, had they known what he'd done, it would have been a very horrible 15 months. so then he gets out and he makes Powder by Disney, which is funny as hell. But then he does the Jeepers Creepers films. And I understand people whenever he's like Victor Salva is making a new film and social media goes crazy with he shouldn't be allowed to do this. Like I get it from a base reaction point. I really do. Mm-hmm. But regardless of what he did, he served. There's no way to make me not sound like just a prick. But regardless of if you agree with the amount of time he served or was originally made to serve, I don't. I think it should have been longer. But he did serve his time. He paid his debt to society, whatever. That just proves that the justice system is completely fucked up if you're in Hollywood. But he served his time. Nobody should be allowed to tell him that he can't make a movie. If people want to fund it and actors want to be in it, people shouldn't. I can't get by I understand it, but I can't be on the side of don't let him make films unless he's making really terrible pornographic underage films.
Well, the thing I wrestle with,
but
isn't
that's not
so
what he's
much
doing.
Like
which he kind of did.
But they were all over Hitch.
I don't think I would say, like, you know, he can't make movies or he can make movies. I think the thing that I wrestle with as a viewer sometimes is knowing that if I buy a ticket to Jeepers Creepers 3 or if I buy it on Blu-ray or DVD, that
he will get money.
Yeah, and I am supporting his career, and he will be able to make another movie, and I am, in a way, enabling that as a viewer and a fan.
But, yeah, but the thing about it is that you have ticket one, yeah, he's going to get money.
And
sure.
I go back and forth about how I feel about that.
You don't know. I think that when people say, you know, I don't want to give him more money to keep doing what he does, because they're assuming that he's still molesting kids. We don't know that. You could assume that. I mean, and also, I think you have to separate the art from the artist. You really do. Otherwise, you probably can't enjoy a whole lot of art from the past human history. Because there's a lot of fucked up people that do really great art.
But
can I quote something here in a sec?
I think connecting the art and the artists for Jeepers Creepers makes this movie way more interesting.
Yeah. Well, it does. But I mean, yeah, but if he came out and made a film that wasn't so overbearing you with this theme, like Jeepers Creepers, if he made just kind of a regular drama about and was completely plain Jane, people would still read into it, even if it wasn't there. So,
right.
But I don't know. It's
That's why I'm okay with Polanski.
Well, I think you have to be.
And that's the thing. All of those people.
But this movie is exposing, the issues that put him away in jail.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's that we're looking, is that he's showing the creeper, which it's interesting that he calls the creature the creeper, but is it the creeper is, in a sense, that side of himself that he knows can't be killed and will always be there. And so these kids and these actors, like, they're trying to kill it, and you can't kill something that is that pure evil. Is he saying that and therefore damning himself?
And the Creeper is absolutely the villain of the piece.
He is.
In both movies.
But also,
the heroes are the victims and the people trying to bring him down.
But also, like you and David were saying, in Jeepers Creepers 2, it opens up with him as a scarecrow. But he's hanging on the cross like Christ with two other scarecrows.
So are we meant to think that he's being persecuted?
Right. And is Victor Salva saying that? And if he's saying that, then I can't entirely get behind the films. But I mean, these films aren't just monster films. They're very much about him trying to deal with either positive or net or
if you go with the first reading, I mean,
with
it does...
his own pedophilic urges, I guess.
Would that be like his, I don't know, cinema as act of contrition in a way, showing that he's like remorseful for what he did?
And then maybe at the end of the day, and then again, I don't know him, and this is me reaching probably, maybe these films are his catharsis. They're how he deals with it. When you want to quit smoking, you wear a patch. Maybe this is him. He gets a bunch of legal but younger looking guys to be half naked on screen and has a creeper prey and eat on them as a pedophile would, and that's how he gets it. I don't want to say get off, but that's how he deals with it. And maybe that is it. And that's why I can't not watch these films, because there's a lot going on there beyond just a monster film.
The problem might be that you are attracted to the monster.
Me?
Right. Well, you talked about how great of a monster he is.
I love the design of the monster.
How cool of a monster he is. So your allegiance ends up being with the monster.
And maybe that's his plan.
Which is
it does it, though? I always find out with horror movies.
Oh, my God.
I can see, like, Michael Myers in Halloween, say, and say, you know, that is a cool villain.
Okay, okay.
But I'm never rooting for him. I'm never on his side. Same thing with Freddy Krueger. Same thing with Jason Voorhees.
Freddy. There are tons of people that love those films. And by the... I would say fourth film, you don't care who's fighting for Freddy. You can say by probably the third film is where it started to go off the edge. Freddy becomes the hero of his films. Freddy is the guy that everyone wants to see slash everyone up. That being said, Freddy was also a pedophile in the original script. That's the concept behind him, is he molested kids.
Right.
So why is it...
Which they brought to the fore in the Nightmare remake.
Right. But. So why is it in these films of these monster things, are we drawn so much to the monster that's doing this thing that nobody should ever do because it's evil and wrong? Why are we drawn to that? Why do we think it's cool to watch?
Because we can't act it out.
I mean, do you think that everybody has some, and I'm not saying everybody has a pedophilic urge, but everybody has probably some urge that know that they should keep back.
Yeah.
And Freddy and the Creeper, Jason, Michael, they all bring it out. We're allowed to experience it through them.
Right. It's safe.
It's catharsis.
It is, but I always find myself much more like identifying with the heroes. Like, if the movie
is there's
good,
no way that you can identify with any of the heroes in the second.
You don't
the
second movie.
Yeah, they're just a bunch, a bus full of
dicks.
Airheads. Yeah.
Oh, sure. No. I'm not saying Creeper. I'm saying, like, you know, the previous movies. Yeah, I agree with the second.
Do you identify with anyone in Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4? Do you care about Alice's plight?
No, but I would also say that it's not a very good movie.
No, that's true. But I mean, at the end of the day, though, when you watch Nightmare 1. Do you care if Rod gets out okay?
Rod? No. Nancy? Absolutely.
So one.
Glenn, to an extent.
So one, maybe two. But you don't watch those films for the human struggle against evil. I don't think many people do. I think Wes Craven wanted us to, and I think people probably did at first, but at this point, they've become such a culture icon that they are the heroes of their own stories.
But at no point is he the protagonist.
People
in
the don't go to watch
in any film.
No, he's not plot-wise. But he really is.
No, it's why you're showing up, certainly, but I don't necessarily think that means you're supposed to.
You don't go watch a Jason film to see how the kids win. You want to see Jason kill everyone.
Absolutely.
No, absolutely. But that still doesn't mean that you're cheering him on, does it?
Absolutely.
I think you do.
It depends on what you're going for. Like, if you're watching a Z-grade slasher film just to see fun kills and silly effects, then, yeah, you can't wait until Jason happens across the teenagers in the sleeping bag. Sure.
But what you just said. And I said you don't go to a Jason film to watch kids anyway. You go to watch Jason kill, and that's true. You would agree with that, right?
Sure.
So then on some level, you are rooting for him to do his thing.
Yeah.
Because that's why you're going.
In that case.
Therefore, on a subconscious level, you are connecting with that evil, evil thing and watching it do it because you can't. I don't know why else you would connect. I don't
don't think it has to be. I think it can be simply appreciating like
blood and gore and murder. Because that to me is worse than subconsciously trying to get a catharsis out of it. If people say to me, "I like to watch Jason kill because it's cool to watch Jason kill," that's fucked up.
But that's not what you're doing when you watch Jason X.
No, it is. But I mean, them vocalizing it is more terrifying to me than
just being honest about it.
I don't think that's true. I think vocalizing it is what we should be doing.
There are plenty of slasher films that I watch solely from like a technical standpoint and to have a laugh.
Technical, Sam?
Sure, to see like which special effects are pulled off and like what looks great. Like, yeah, I'm such
what
a
beheading
fan of, like,
looks cool?
Sure, why not? Like at that point, you know, if I'm not drawn in by the characters and by the story or whatever, then at that point I just kind of cross my arms and I appreciate what skill must have gone into crafting a movie. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm cheering on, you know, a villain. I am watching a parade of fun special effects.
Right, but I
don't think most people watch movies like that.
No,
especially horror movies.
Oh, yeah, I totally do.
No, I would say the majority of the audience that go to watch a Freddy film, a Halloween, a Texas Chainsaw, they're going to watch the kills.
Yeah.
That's why you're going. Why else do
you're going to be scared. Like,
why else are 10-year-old kids dressing up?
You're never scared in those movies.
Oh,
there's no Friday the 13th that's
no,
scary.
Not Friday the 13th.
Nightmare
but again,
One
it's
does
a
scare,
shitty series.
Does scare the shit out of me. But
and
I mean,
to be scared, you have to care about the characters who are put in peril, which goes back to my saying that I totally live through Nancy when I watch A Nightmare on Elm Street. I live through Sally and her friends when I watch Texas Chainsaw.
Sure, but I mean, I think about it is I can't fully get behind the fact that we do care about the human characters because why else?
You don't always. You don't always.
I don't think anybody truly ever. As an audience, as a general, I'm not saying that there aren't exceptions to the rule. Of course there are. But I think as a general audience, people go there to watch the killer because that's what they want to see. Why else are there toys and shirts? There aren't shirts with...
Yeah, there's no Nancy doll.
I agree entirely with you that the thing that draws me into a Nightmare on Elm Street movie is Freddy Krueger because he's a terrifying thing. When I go to a fair, I'm going to pick the scariest looking ride to hop on. Doesn't mean I want to die on it.
No, but you want that thrill.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, for God's sakes, there are...
But in order to be scared, I can't be living through the villain of a piece. It has to be the hero who escapes his clutches.
Right, but the hero never does because the franchise rolls on. The evil never dies.
Yeah, which is a problem with franchises.
And I mean, how many Halloweens go by that you see a kid wearing a Freddy mask with like a Freddy glove? That's a bit weird.
Yeah.
And going back to the creek the Creeper films. There were children's Jeepers Creepers outfits of kids dressing up as the
You're
creeper.
Kidding me.
No. And it was a Halloween costume. And maybe that's what Salva is doing, is saying we all feel urges that society says don't feel. And acting out on them, sure, is illegal and bad. But having them isn't innately, and this is not me, this is what I'm saying, he's saying, though having those feelings is not innately evil and bad, it's something that exists, that will always exist, which is why the monster in the film has lived for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. I think that's what he's doing with it, is that, yes, this creeper is preying on young boys and he's killing everyone, but you can't beat him because we are him.
I don't think you need to attach that to Victor Salva either. I think that, to me, that's exactly why we go
no,
see
right. No, right. No, yes, yes. But I agree with that. What I'm saying is I think that Salva was one of the first directors to blatantly take this and say, this is what it is, and shove it down your throat. I think every horror director
has done that.
I know, but I don't think they think about it in that way because they're not all convicted pedophiles.
Well, no, I just think here we have a crime that society considers even right. more out there than
murder.
Say murder.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. And that might be why it rings so much louder in this film, because it is such a more heinous crime. Because arguably, I think everybody would vote that killing somebody is less than somebody molesting a child. I mean, Wes Craven said that the reason he made Freddy a child molester and a child killer is because he said that harming a child was the worst thing a human being could do. Not murdering an adult or murdering anyone. It was hurting a child. So that might be why it rings so loud for me in the creeper films, because it's such a deeper...
And society has cooled itself to the murder of adults.
Oh, it totally has.
So,
totally
but have. It has not cooled itself to...
No, they haven't.
Abuse of a child.
No. Can you see a version of these movies where, you know, obviously if you're going to have two kids on the road being menaced by a scary truck, or if you're going to have a bus full of kids break down and, you know, stand some shot of defending themselves, then you have to have protagonists who are old enough to be able to believably do that. But do you think it would be more honest in a way to have had the creeper preying on much younger characters in his films.
I think he wanted
more
it to
honest,
be younger.
Did you say?
Do what?
More honest? What did you say?
I think so, in a way.
More honest to how Salva
feels. To how Salva
feels? Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, and I think 100% that's what he wanted, because you look at the first film and they're college kids. We're not told how old. We get the idea that Trish is definitely older than Derry. Oh. Derry seems to be maybe a freshman in college because he doesn't do his own laundry. He lives in a dorm. But then you cut to number two, which is now further along. He's pushing the message, and like the symbolism is not subtle at all. It's very much
In the first opening scene, he takes the little boy.
Takes the little boy, yeah. Exactly. And then for the rest of the film, the victims are high school kids. He's now aged it down again.
Also, I really noticed in the first movie that Derry and what's the sister?
Trish.
Name? Trish, thank you. Derry and Trish seem very immature.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when they're in the car, you know, trading insults with each other. I kept thinking, like, how old are they?
I think, honestly, he wrote it for a younger thing, and either the studio said no, or his agent or a friend said, dude, you can't make them underage after what just happened. You can't do that.
It's been ages since I've seen it, but how old was the lead in Powder meant to be?
He was a younger kid, too. I mean, and the thing about it is that, and I don't know what's happening with Jeepers Creepers 3, but when I originally read what it was about all those years ago, it was going to be Trish 23 years later after number two, and it was the creeper was coming for her son, who is arguably meant to be 10, 12 years old, which is why the casting thing in Canada did not work out. He's trying to cast a 12-year-old kid. I think he's trying to make it closer to what he wants to say about what he feels, what he thinks everyone feels. I don't know. But he's not, whatever he says, he's not just making a monster film. That's not what it is.
Oh, no. Yeah.
No, it's not. I mean, he can say what he wants, but he's making a film either for him or about him or against him, but it's all him. He is the creeper in those films.
Yeah.
I don't think that anybody can really argue that. You can't look at it and just say it's a monster film.
And so do you think it's because of that, and because most people who react against those movies perhaps sense that or know that outright, that
they do
freaks and, them out so much? And I'm telling you, when you get on Twitter and, like, you know, I follow a number of, like, you know, horror writers and, you know, folks who dig horror flicks, and it's not even that divisive. It's almost entirely people who react really strongly when any mention of him comes up. Like Scream Factory is putting out these new special editions of parts 1 and 2,
and they don't know why.
And Scream Factory, you know, they're like horror heroes right now for all of the movies that they've unearthed. They put out the director's cut of Nightbreed. They gave us
that
box set. Yeah, they. well, it was a movie that we never thought would exist, and yet they wound up being the people who put it out. They put together a box set of Halloween, which we were told would never happen. You know, these people can do no wrong until they said that they were putting out Jeepers Creepers and Jeepers Creepers 2, at which point they did wrong, apparently.
Well,
you know,
and like I said, I understand that from just a base emotional reaction of somebody they view as evil still doing these things. But also, if he is making these films about himself, against himself, whatever, then I don't know how these people think, but it seems almost like they believe that he is continuing his really terrible deeds on film. That way, he can't go to jail. But he's by making the monster himself, and he gets to prey on all these young kids.
And yet, one of the things that they do know, you know, I've noticed, is that it is just a matter of, it's one of the things that I mentioned earlier, the notion of supporting somebody like that by viewing their movies or by buying their Blu-rays or whatever. Right. And yet, like I said, I fall on the fence of that, and I can't knock anybody for having that opinion. Like, if somebody doesn't want to watch Jeepers Creepers because
I
completely get that, and you know, I get it. But the thing that
makes you feel a little icky,
the thing that bugs me,
Jeepers Creepers 2, absolutely, and that can make you feel icky.
The thing that bugs me a little bit about that, though, is those movies are old now. They're not in theaters. Who knows how much of a cut, if anything, Victor Salva is getting from these Blu-rays being put out, and yet people are railing against it, right? Well, and yet, when Chinatown gets released to Blu-ray, or The Tenant hits DVD, or any Polanski film comes out, or Polanski even makes a new film, you know.
Or writes a book about
it. I'm going to be an idiot here, but what did Polanski do?
Polanski, back in the late 70s, fed a...
Oh, you mean what did he do to be an asshole?
Yeah.
He had sex with a 13-year-old girl in Europe.
Gotcha.
No. It was at Jack Nicholson's place in L.A.
Whatever. Yeah, it was in Jack's place. But she said that it was a consensual thing. He said it was, but she was 13, so...
Fed her Quaaludes and sodomized her. She was a 13-year-old model he was shooting for some magazine.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talk about Salva having done his time. That is one thing that Polanski did not do.
Well, okay.
Because he fled the country. And yet nobody goes into outrage mode whenever any sort of... In the way that they do with Victor Salva, whenever Polanski is brought up.
You know why?
Because he's a better filmmaker.
Let me drop some knowledge on you.
Well, that's seriously, we can do without... No, I think there are people who feel that they can do without Jeepers Creepers. They can do without Jeepers Creepers 2. They can do without Powder. But when it comes to Chinatown...
That's not why.
You don't think?
That's not why. The reason is this. David, you can agree, you cannot agree. Brian,
I'm ready.
This is why. Roman Polanski raped and sodomized an underage girl. Victor Salva molested a boy. Anytime there is a case involving that, if it's with a young boy, implying that Victor Salva is now gay, it gets exponentially worse.
I'm totally with you.
Because society is wired to be woman, man. And as long as a bit of that is there, then they can get over it pretty quick.
Yep.
But if it's a boy and a boy, there's something in their brain that we've been taught for decades that's not okay any age.
Okay, I won't argue that that's absolutely probably the case with a lot, or maybe even most people, but I know for a fact that there are some people that is definitely not the case, and yet nobody will still touch Polanski when it comes to that.
I'm not saying that that's the rule, but it is the generalization.
Sure.
I'm going to bring in SVU to this. I watch a lot of SVU. No.
So, Brian, you're in.
This is going somewhere. In SVU, whenever there is a case about a guy raping a girl or raping an underage girl or whatever, it's a horrible episode. The guy gets dealt with whatever. Whenever it's a younger boy, all the actors act more mad. The sentencing is always worse. Usually the bad guy's beaten up. And it's not always the case. But, I mean, that's the thing. Is in media, we are told that, and you can look at the history of it all, that if you molest an underage girl, you'll be okay eventually. You molest an underage boy, society will never accept you again.
Yeah.
And it's not equal. I'm not saying that you should accept the boy molester just so you accept the girl molester. Don't accept either of them. But it's... I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm gay.
Yeah, no, that's right. I think you're right.
I think that's what it is. That's why Salva just can't get any leeway ahead of it, because it was a boy. Had it been a girl, I think because it would have been nearly 30 years ago now, people would have forgot about it by now. No one would have cared.
I hope that's not right, but I can't argue that that's likely.
Dude, society's a fucked up place. Fucked up place.
No, you know, even going to he certainly hasn't been tried for anything, but there were accusations that, say, Woody Allen had molested a young girl like his...
Well, for God's sakes, Woody Allen's wife he married was like what, 17?
No, I think it was Ronan Farrow who said that his sister, who would have been like 6 at the time, was molested by Woody Allen at the time or whatever. And yet, if that happened, undoubtedly there would be outrage or whatever. But you give it a couple of years, I'm pretty sure all those same people are probably going to pop in Annie Hall at some point and watch it.
Oh, they are.
They're okay. Going
well,
to.
Well,
you know,
well, that's the thing. I mean,
Match Point will stay on their DVD shelf.
If Polanski makes a new film, will you watch it?
Yep.
Exactly. If Victor Salva makes a new film that's not Jeepers Creepers 3, will you watch it?
Okay, now, I can say one thing to that. If Jeepers Creepers 3 does come out, will I watch it? Yeah, probably. I did watch. And here's the thing. Will I buy Jeepers Creepers 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a completist. I have to. But I'm sorry, I do. I did watch Peaceful Warrior in 2007 in theaters when it came out because I was a fan of that book, and I wound up watching it. Victor Salva directed that film. So, you know... But do I feel icky about that? Sure. You know, I mean, no, does it feel, do I feel strange about that? Absolutely.
No, that's the thing. I think honestly, it is really hard not to watch Jeepers Creepers 1 or 2 and not feel, dirty or icky, whatever. It's not wrong to feel a certain way. You're going to feel a certain way. But you shouldn't feel icky or filthy for buying it. Because you have to separate the art from the artist. You have to. I mean, the movie Ender's Game. I love those books as a kid.
I can't. As a viewer, I can do that. And I was in a weird place anyway with Jeepers Creepers because I was working in a theater where I could view movies for free.
Sure.
So I think on some level I could tell myself when I would watch that movie after hours, I would be like, well, it's not like I'm supporting him, but I can still watch his movie and enjoy it, and I can separate that from him. But when you actually plunk down cash, that's when you do feel as though you are actually supporting him, you know?
But see, I think what you're saying is people feel that they're supporting him mm-hmm. to do his deeds. One, we don't know how his contract works.
Sure.
We don't know how much of a cut he gets, if he gets any cut of it.
Or
the studio just pays him up front. We don't know that.
But a load of people bought tickets to Jeepers Creepers 2, or Jeepers Creepers, sorry, and a load of people bought the DVD copy back in the day when it came out, and that's why we have Jeepers Creepers 2.
Right.
Jeepers Creepers 3 is only being mooted right now loads of people bought the first two films.
What that means is that those two films made the studios enough money that they wanted to do another one.
Which means he works again.
Right, because he has the scripts already because the scripts are already there. They're not going to go find somebody else to do it.
Right.
They're going to make their work as easy as they can to make the most money they can. So the scripts are there, the guy's there, just let him do it.
But it still equals him working.
Also, Hollywood's the most corrupt place in the world. I mean, everything there is sold and made on underage hookers and drugs. All of it is. It's a horrible, horrible place. So, of course they're going to let him make more films. But, I mean, I don't think... At least in my mind, I don't think that if I buy an Orson Scott card, and this took me a long time to get over, if I buy an Orson Scott card book, or if I went and watched,
and we should
Ender's
tell people
Games,
who you know listening to a horror Orson podcast Scott, why Orson Scott card
Orson
is
Scott
like
Card
a,
is a gigantic homophobe.
Okay.
He hates gays. Orson Scott Card hates me. So I did. It did take me a long time to be able to enjoy those books again. But at the end of the day, Unless the work that they're doing, and this might be a bit muddy for the waters for the Jeepers Creepers thing, unless the work they're doing is saying, unless Orson Scott Card's work is saying gays are bad, then I have to separate him from the work. Chuck Dixon, who is a Batman writer, has been accused many times of being a homophobe, and there's a bit of evidence to prove that. But does that mean that his Batman comics aren't still awesome? No, they're fucking great. So I don't see why Victor Salva gets such this horrible, horrible end of the stick when it comes to that kind of argument.
People, no, I agree. I agree with that.
People are still going to buy
Chinatown
films.
I get why he catches hell. I don't understand why he catches so much more hell than other people who arguably deserve it as much.
I think it is because it's a boy and because his work seems to be a catharsis of that experience, whereas other people's work doesn't seem to work through that.
That's why Jeepers Creepers makes you feel a bit icky when you watch it.
Absolutely.
But Ender's Game doesn't.
Right.
Because Ender's Game is just about race things. Nothing about homophobia.
Is there anything that we can say post-70s that Polanski did that would in some way address...
He did The Ninth Gate, which is about Satanism and orgies.
Nah, I don't think I would cover it.
It's a pretty good movie, though. I enjoyed that film.
I like The Ninth Gate.
Brian, do you like The Ninth Gate?
I don't think I've seen The Ninth
Gate. The Pianist? Probably
not.
You
look a bit like Johnny Depp does in The Ninth Gate.
Thank you.
That's a compliment.
Okay.
It's a great movie.
No, it's funny. Going into this podcast and knowing what it was going to be, it was strange today. There were two different things that sort of beat me over the head with
I didn't mean to railroad the whole conversation.
No, you're fine. No, it was great. But like, I was listening to a...
I didn't have to.
I was listening to a podcast earlier today. It's a Shockwaves podcast, which was the follow-up to Killer POV, where they had the Scream Factory guys on, and they sort of very diplomatically noted why they were releasing Jeepers Creepers and Jeepers Creepers 2.
Was it a cash in on Jeepers Creepers 3?
No, it was. It
That's
was
probably exactly in a very what it was.
Respectful, cash grab, yeah.
In a very respectful way, they basically noted, you know, it's like, this is a business. These are movies that we had access to. They made a lot of money.
It's about money.
And so, but the second thing, I'm reading a novel right now, which I was going to mention in the previous version of this podcast when we were talking about things that we just following orders. But I'm reading a book right now called Psychosanitarium. It's written by Chet Williamson, who it's basically a follow-up to Robert Bloch's novel Psycho. It's set in between Bloch's Psycho and Psycho 2. And there's this passage between these two people who work in the sanitarium. There's the head of the place, who's this older German guy, and keep in mind this takes place in the early 60s, and then there is a resident there. And ultimately the talk turns to the older gentleman's love for opera, and they get around to talking about Wagner. And, you know, the older gentleman notes that he has, you know, two versions of the Ring cycle, and the younger gentleman notes it's kind of strange that this guy who his name is Goldberg, he is a Jewish gentleman who survived the war, as it were, would be a fan of Wagner because that composer was such an horrible anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
And his response, which I thought was, again, interesting that I just happened to read this chapter before coming in here today, noted, the guy basically responds by saying, it has taken me many years to learn to separate the art from the artist, but I've done it in Wagner's case at least. His music is sublime no matter what your faith or your race, and I feel that he in his art was touched by God, as were Mozart and Verdi and Puccini. I listen to the music, which is the finest manifestation of Wagner's soul, not his anti-Semitic screeds. I have forgiven him his sins and celebrate only the beauty he has created. And is that not like our profession? We do not seek to judge. We seek to observe and to appreciate the good.
Right. Well, I do agree with that. You have to get past it. I mean, whenever I was in college, I took a class on the Beats. And as we know, as I've told you many times, David.
I know.
Allen Ginsberg joined NAMBLA in the 90s.
Did he say what now?
He has many reasons for why.
Allen Ginsberg?
Yeah. He had many reasons. He said one that he didn't believe the organization was that bad, that he thought that people were misjudging what they were actually saying, and they needed a figurehead. Whatever, it doesn't matter. I don't care.
What they were saying, but the actual NAMBLA stands for
the North American Man Boy Loves. It's fucking stupid. But the thing about it is that so Ginsberg and there's documented cases of Ginsberg being in the 70s, being 60 some years old, and having a sexual relationship with maybe a 17 year old boy. William Burroughs, who is one of the best writers to have ever lived.
Wrote Naked Lunch, wrote Junkie.
When he was in the 70s, he wrote Queer. Whenever he was in the 70s or in his 70s, he had a relationship with a 17 to 19-year-old boy. The history is a bit muddied. That being said, he also never joined NAMBLA. But those things don't make Naked Lunch any less profound and awesome. Allen Ginsberg being involved in NAMBLA doesn't make Howl any less awesome. It makes me view him as a person differently, but not as work. I think Jeepers Creepers, the weirdness is that, like David said, it is so much about that part of him, and that's why it feels weird. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't watch it. I think everybody should, because it's really interesting. It's not good. I don't know if it's bad either, but it's really interesting.
It's a good way to say it.
Yeah. I do enjoy the films. I have watched the films just as like a fun pop, like a pop rock and monster film.
Sure.
But I don't know if I've thought about it a lot the past couple of weeks since I said that we're going to talk about this film. I don't know if I can ever do that again because I have thought so much about what those films are. I may have essentially ruined the films as a fun popcorn film for myself. But
okay, and I guess we did divert away from this to jump into this or whatever, but let's go back to Jeepers Creepers 2 and talk about like some of the... Let's just talk about Jeepers Creepers 2 for a second because
at frame one and go to the end. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Talking about Rhonda. Let's go.
Let's go.
It's all about Rhonda. I mean, one of the main characters in it is named Izzy. And they make fun of him as Izzy, isn't he? Because he's apparently gay, got in a fight at like a gay bar. David said that there was the scene of the boys in the bus.
The boys on the bus, yes, on top of the bus.
And is that not a little like...
Then you have like all the boys peeing side by side. Yeah.
And that is very like...
I have never ever... I mean, am I alone in this? I have never done that.
I am gay and I've never done that.
Well, there you go.
I have never peed with my friends in an open field.
It doesn't make it strange. Is it weird of me to
ever
to find that more uncomfortable because it's Salva filming a bunch of guys who
I think
are
it is.
Underage,
I think
bare chested, yeah. sunning themselves on top of us? But if it were like Joel Schumacher, who's a gay filmmaker, but not, you know, a pedophile,
then
I wouldn't bat an eyelash at
no,
it. It wouldn't be.
I say you would. I think people would because people look at Batman Forever and Batman Robin and look at the bat nipples, the ass shots he does, how gay it is. But because he's gay and has only been gay as we know it with adults, it's not weird. Right. Had Victor Salva made Batman Forever.
Oh my goodness.
Robin probably would have been a bit younger. But let's say it's the exact same film and Salva made it, it would have been damned because
infinitely
it's a pedophile
strange,
doing a gay film. That's I mean,
but it doesn't even have to be a gay like, you know, if Polanski filmed an underage girl in much the same way, it would be equally as icky.
But people, I don't think people would feel icky enough about it to just say fuck the guy because it's a girl.
I
think there's a stigma attached to the fact that Victor Salva likes dudes. I think that that's the basis, and then pedophilia is the second thing. People might disagree with me, but maybe I'm just a little gay.
Right.
But I think that's what it is. I mean, as much as people claim that...
It's not... I can say for certain that's not with me, and I pray it's not with most people, but I can also agree that undoubtedly that is the case with probably numerous people.
Yeah, I think it is. But I mean, and then so we have the boys sunbathing on the bus.
I think
we're also told
about, you know, throughout history of relationships between older men and young girls. You know, there's royalty in which the queen is 13 and the king is, you know, 40 years old.
But what we're not talked about is in Japan, it was that same thing, but with dudes. Because the daimyos would have a lot of young boys that did the same thing young girls did in Europe. But we don't talk about that because we
think that's true.
That up,
I mean, I think when they talk about like ancient Greece too, suddenly you find out Socrates is gay, and you're like, "What?
Right?
This great philosopher's gay?"
And he probably had sex with 14-year-old boys,
or
younger, because that's the way it was, and that's not okay. But still, there's a stigma attached to that because it starts out as being gay. I think that's the stigma of it. I think I'm not going to say that Victor Salva's stigma is only because he's gay, but it certainly does not fucking help. Doesn't help him at all. And Jinx is silent now.
No. I'm just thinking, like, I had never considered that. But, again, going back to Polanski and the fact that he is so rarely called out on that when he releases a new film or when one of his older films is repackaged, you know, he doesn't get hit in the same way that Salva does.
He was yelled at for about a month. Victor Salva's been yelled at every day for 16 years. I mean, and maybe it is because his films are so over the top with this. I mean... His name is the Creeper. He licks windows. He smells boys' underwear.
I think there's another aspect to this, too. I mean, if you think of action films and how much homoeroticism is in action films, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
You, in some sense, I think that's a working out for the male audience of that kind of desire that they can't, you know, a male heterosexual can't, you know, formulate. And here it is formulated on the screen. But in Jeepers Creepers 2, for example, it is about a predatory instinct. It is not simply a working out of homoeroticism, right? If you said, if Joel Schumacher made this film, right, then still we would watch it and say, oh my gosh, there's an awful lot of homoerotic imagery in this film.
But it would be fine in that case. Like, I
think
it would be.
It may be, but at the same time, I think people would still be reading it questioningly because it has this predatory character that's preying on young boys.
Yeah. So I think that's the majority of what people have.
I think why Victor Salva gets the flack is because we know his history, right? If we didn't know it about Joel Schumacher, I'm not bad-mouthing Joel Schumacher here.
He's lovely.
But he's a lovely human being. But, you know, then it would become...
He made Batman and Robin. I don't know if I can forgive him fully for that. But
there you go.
He made Lost Boys.
He made...
And Phantom of the Opera.
I like Phantom of the Opera.
Fuck yeah, you do. But I don't know. I mean, I think Jeepers Creepers makes us feel icky because there is so much over the top, in your face, awkward sexualness. And it's no holds barred number two. It's just
more so, yes.
Well, and I didn't notice it really. And like I said, I was telling David, I haven't watched Jeepers Creepers 2 for several years, and I didn't realize how much of it was there. I mean, it's.
Oh, I didn't certainly on first viewing.
I didn't notice
probably
it
not on
as much, but I mean, it's everywhere. I mean,
this was my first viewing, and I noticed it right away. Even I know we had talked about it,
right,
but my gosh.
I mean,
and I wonder if that's
there.
Not what, you know, the fact that we knew what this conversation was going to be going into, and I hadn't viewed the movies in ages, but watching them again sort of with that filter, then,
well, and there,
yeah,
I mean, and the movie is full of dicks. I mean, they're on a gigantic phallic school bus. He gets killed by a harpoon.
The post puncher.
The post puncher. The most manly man we've seen in either film.
Absolutely.
I mean,
who is treated as the hero?
Did
you
He's
not,
the most masculine man
did you
ever
not
with
think
a huge dick on the back of his pickup truck.
Did you not think it was weird that this high school, I'm guessing, basketball team was so unmanly?
Oh, entirely. They were all unmanly. They all felt impotent.
Yeah.
They all just cried. Like, and the one guy who actually felt mad about everything, Scotty, is obviously closeted gay.
Yeah.
Obviously. His girlfriend Rhonda is not fooling anyone. But, and he
always
he's
the one who feels most insulted when it's called out.
Yeah. And he ends up being the one that it's, I mean, he ends up being one of the ones the creeper seems to want the most. And he's... Not only is he afraid of that,
and
he's mad at it because
that's the big spoiler.
Right, because this male creeper is after him because he has something he wants, because he feels right to him or whatever. So I mean, it's weird. I mean, he gets stabbed in the face and with a big javelin.
It's strange because one of the girls says, you know, one of their attempts to hide from the creeper is by saying, well, he only looked at certain people. And one of the girls says, well, no, he looked at all of us. And in your mind, as an audience, you're like, no, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't at all.
No, he passed off all the girls.
Yeah.
With Jeepers Creepers 1 and 2, the only guys that he, well, the only people that he pursues are all male. If you're a woman who falls by his hand, it's because you're in his way,
well,
and not because he was wanted
Trish,
you in the way that drives him in both films.
Trish, at the very end of one, he's holding Derry, and she says, take me, I'm older than him. She says, I'm older than him, I'm stronger than him, I have what you need, take me. And the creeper,
everything's the same.
Right, and the creeper looks at her, almost like he considers it, he's like,
no, you
don't, because your brother's younger, he's a boy, and he takes him.
Yeah,
it's not because his eyes were right. That's not why. That's not why at all.
He had better vision.
Gay people actually do have better vision. That is in fact true.
Fun fact.
That was interesting. Something that you pointed out, I think, off-cast so far, but the notion that, you know, part of his backstory is the notion that he has to disappear for so many years.
Right.
You know, much like, well...
Much like Safa did.
He has to go underground.
Somebody who had to go behind bars for a crime, you know, so that even more closely aligns Salva with his creature.
Is that, and I don't know if I come down on the side that Salva's using the creeper to say, feel sorry for me, or to say, this is what I am. I'm horrible and I'm trying to deal with it. But it is that after the creeper commits these terrible, terrible acts, which are preying on young boys, he has to go to, you know, a prison for a certain amount of years. Before he gets out and can do it again. That's actually a scary thought.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Jeepers Creepers feels so weird.
It's weird because he does get crucified in the end, right?
He
actually gets displayed on a cross.
But it's interesting that
waiting
Salva...
Waiting for Lance Longinus to pierce him again.
That's right.
But Salva does have a character in there in the Ray Wise figure who's vengeful, but he's still, you know, kind of the de facto hero of the piece. And
also,
at the end of it, he stands as sentinel to make certain that the... villain is never going to do what he did again.
Right. And
the manly man who won't face his own homoeroticism.
Well, okay, it's the thing. He has no wife.
Yeah.
There is no wife for Ray Wise. It's him and his two kids. And he's covering
their dog.
And it's a very homoerotic kind of big burly man who has no wife, drives a truck, works on a farm, and kills the creeper with his literal strap-on penis. He straps it on himself. In the back of his truck to shoot him with. I mean, and I would like to say, well, maybe Salva was just making a gay film, and he wasn't making a pedophile creeper film, or he didn't know what. But no, he fucking.
He
did.
Totally.
It's all over, and maybe that's why I enjoy Nightmare film because it is so gay, and it's you don't see that in horror films. Jeepers Creepers gets a bit muddy and weird because it is not just homoerotic, but it's pedophilic. So it gets a bit weird. Well, I mean, and even Nightmare 2 is that because Jesse's an underage boy.
Do you think the people who get angry at Jeepers Creepers protest too much?
I don't know. No, I don't.
I think you sure?
I think they. I mean, are there some? Maybe.
No, I mean, I think a lot of that anger could be the fact that I don't want to see it, right? Because I don't want to deal with any kind of other side of me that society has already created.
I don't.
I'm not saying they're all pedophiles.
No.
I mean, I don't entirely think it's that, but also I think it might be I don't want to see this thing that I don't understand. I don't want to understand.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
I want, whether it's a part of them or not, I don't want to understand this part of the world. Get it away. It's icky. Move it away.
Yeah.
They don't want to. It's the same reason that Disney can't release Song of the South in its entirety. It's icky, horrible. We don't want to see it anymore. But it's still a piece of art. Hmm. Racist and horrible, yes. But people that get mad about it, I don't think they just don't want to see it.
Or any of Leni Riefenstahl's films, maybe?
Yeah. They don't want to try to understand anything different. I mean, I don't necessarily...
Or to understand it is scary.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Everybody has feelings, right, that are beyond the pale of society.
Sure. Absolutely.
Do you think it's worth then watching
Entire
something?
Life is based around that.
Yeah. Do you think it should be worth it for viewers who would protest the making of these movies and, like, I don't know, Victor Salva's career continuing? Should it be worth it to them continuing to support that guy just to view his art and get a better understanding of somebody like that?
I think they should watch it, but they won't. Their minds are already made up. The people out there screaming for it are going to be protesting Jeepers Creepers 3 never gets to the theaters. And if it ever eventually gets made, who knows where we're going to be with this whole like social justice thing, and then it might get railed out of theaters and is only available on demand. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's weird how much power that Twitter actually has over things. It's kind of fucking ridiculous how much power it actually has over things. It's stupid because it's all just a bunch of like 14-year-old girls yelling about things.
Not the people I follow.
No.
But I do understand that.
I'm also, keep in mind, I am making a generalization.
He was referring to Brian.
Yeah. There are exceptions to all these things that I'm saying, but I'm generalizing it.
I agree. Twitter is wonderful and awful.
Tumblr
at the same
is too.
Time, so.
The internet is. I don't know.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But overall,
I still give them thumbs up, though.
Yeah, as fun popcorn films, like, even stripping away all of that, I think they're finally made fun popcorn films.
Deeper than that,
I think, is very interesting. And, you know, they are movies that I don't mind revisiting, even for the controversy.
Sure. I think that's why I give these films thumbs up, is because this talk that we've had about it, we can't have a talk like this about Friday the 13th Part 4.
Nah.
Can't do it. You can't be done.
I don't want to talk about it ever again.
So this film, whether or not the story sucks, the directing, whatever, it starts a dialogue about something that people don't want to talk about. And that's what society needs, is something to start a dialogue about something horrible that we all just want to ignore. Because ignoring it makes it keep going.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I said all I can say.
That's good.
Brian?
Sorry, Brian.
I just didn't think I could top the Mac joke, so I just hung back this podcast.
Wait till we go deep into Ghost Dad.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad.
Never happening. Okay.
Race relations with ghosts.
Yeah, I can't wait.
All right,
Bring
guys.
Up the whole Cosby thing.
It's all metaphors.
It's going to be great.
I think for this evening anyway, we have probably exhausted our talk on Jeepers Creepers and Jeepers Creepers 2. If you are a listener and you have been listening to the show, please get back at us on the Screamatics website or find us on Twitter and let us know what you thought of this talk and what your own feelings are about that franchise and Victor Salva, Roman Polanski, or anything we mentioned here this evening.
Shout Factory.
Should we call it Scream Factory?
Should we call it the Screening Room or the Screaming Room? Vote.
Absolutely.
Also, go give us a rating on iTunes if you like it.
Subscribe. Review.
Please. If you don't like it, just don't do anything.
Yes.
Yes. If you want to give us one star, just don't give us any stars.
Brian tells you what to do.
We would
His
appreciate
master's
that.
Voice.
So yell at us on Twitter. We are at Scream Addicts, and I am at Jinx1981. Oh my God. I just forgot. Somebody is new to Twitter this week.
I tweeted.
David.
I tweeted a picture of a Keebler cookie that I was eating.
You're officially a foodie now. Are you aware of that?
Is that what I am?
That's what it's called.
What the heck is
a
that?
A foodie.
I hate to say it, but that probably means that you're doing Twitter right.
People that take pictures of the food they're eating and share it. Brad
I do everything right.
Okay, what are your Twitter handles, guys?
Seth Dixon, 00.
00.
I am at Brian_Prem.
Apparently spelled with 2 M's. And Dave.
I am at Zesty Ken. All one word.
Nailed it.
Cool Ranch Dave.
Wait a second. Scream Addicts.
Yeah.
Jinx 1981. Seth Dixon 00, Brian underscore Prem
Zesty Ken.
For the record,
can you tell us about
Zesty Ken is a surfer character that was going in my Great American Novel.
Okay.
He's never gone there yet, though.
I'm writing a Great American Novel.
I know.
It's way too fucking long.
Like this podcast.
Microsoft Word does not help you gauge a page rate. I'll tell you that right now.
I can already tell that at least one listener is going to find this talk way too long, and I don't want to say who, but it's
sitting in this room.
Yeah, I'm going to be tired already.
David will drink it in.
I've already listened to this podcast, so I don't have to listen to it again.
David will just drink my voice in. Love everything we're saying.
All right, gang, thanks so much for tuning in this evening and listening. Tuning in, it's a fucking podcast. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast.
Watch Jeepers Creepers.
We hope you join us next week when the movie is going to be David's choice. David, what movie are you choosing next week?
Jeepers Creepers.
I'm just going at it again.
We're not doing Jeepers Creepers again.
Nightmare 2.
We've finally retired it out.
I don't know. I've heard some things about this movie Hush, so I thought maybe we'd choose that.
Okay, the Mike Flanagan film. It's from the director of Absentia and Oculus.
Don't know what those are.
I'm a little worried about that.
They're both
all
very
right.
good.
Are they?
All right, gang. We will see you next week.
I didn't think so.
Can
I loved Oculus.
I fell asleep in the theater.
Mike, the fact that...
You paid for that.
Yeah.
Can I?
Might be the fact that Amy Pond was in it, but I love that movie.
Can I read this film as gay?
Which one?
The one that you're going to pick.
I don't know.
I haven't seen it. I don't know if I want to watch it.
Has anybody seen it in here?
I only read films as gay.
No, I think that's why I would choose it.
Dare Samurai, Jeepers Creepers.
Well, check us out next week to find out if Seth can indeed read Hush as gay. Folks, that's all we got for you. Thanks so much. Have a good night. Goodbye.
See ya.